If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com. Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
For the Hidden Killers podcast, I'm Stacey Cole. Lori Vallow-Daybell was in court during a hearing Wednesday morning. It has been ruled that she will need to undergo mental health evaluations before court proceedings in her Arizona case can resume. A judge denied a request from Daybell's attorneys to withdraw a motion her former defense team had filed requesting a Rule 11 evaluation. Rule 11 governs competency evaluations for defendants who may be mentally incompetent to stand on trial. Let's go now to the courtroom for that hearing.
All right, I set the status conference pending a hearing at the Rule 11 court last week. So what's the status, counsel?
Yes, Your Honor. And just to briefly put on the record, what we didn't put on the record was we had requested to seal this hearing because it does discuss sensitive information. I understand the prior court's ruling, but just to have on the record that we did request that it be sealed. So where we're at with, we had a hearing, an initial Rule 11 hearing with Commissioner Mortarosian. He had received the reports. One of those reports is competent. The other doctor indicated she wasn't able to make a report, even though she had done a records review. Commissioner Monerosian, from my understanding, was willing to stipulate to competency based on the one report. Even though Ms. Vallow wasn't present, it's outside their normal process to stipulate to competency if a defendant's not there. But given the unique circumstances, he was, at least it was my understanding, he was willing to do that. However, the state objected, wanting Dr. Hernandez's report. So what I would like to do is go back over the LeCount case, because I think it's completely on point with case law and where we're at with this case. So when we started with you, I believe it was on November 6th, you had indicated that you were willing, at least inclined, to withdraw prior counsel's Rule 11 motion until Ms. Vallow indicated that she wanted to represent herself. We brought up the LeCount case. I went back through that case pretty thoroughly, and I'm just going to kind of walk through it. That case starts off with that Ms. Vallow has an absolute right to represent herself, and then it goes into what has to be established before she can represent herself. She has to show a sufficient mental capacity to understand the nature of the dispute, formulate a defense, and engage with court, counsel, all of the people in the cases. The court can look at, the court has to look at some evidence in order to make that finding of putting her in Rule 11 before allowing her to represent herself. But there has to be a history of irrational behavior, some medical opinion documenting incompetency, or something else, and the defendant's demeanor. So the court has to find reasonable grounds. And that doesn't include an uncooperative attitude. You have to have a reasonable doubt as to her competency before we can place her in Rule 11. And the last part of LeCount talks about potentially just doing a preliminary evaluation and maybe getting one report before moving into a full Rule 11 evaluation. So I'm going to walk through what we have in this case. Again, she has an absolute right to represent herself. She has the sufficient mental capacity to understand the nature of the dispute, formulate a defense. We've now had a couple of conversations. We believe that she's able to do that, so we are avowing to the court that she's able to do that. So far, there's been no history. The state and your honors had this case for almost a year. You've had chances to see Ms. Vallow in court. To my understanding, there's been no history of irrational behavior. We now have a medical opinion from Dr. McGady who says that she's competent. There's been nothing else in her demeanor.
Did that doctor meet with her?
He spoke with her briefly. He didn't do a full evaluation, but he did speak with her. He did do a records review. I will point out his records review. His report, he kind of summarized what all of us have been saying, was that maybe the Rule 11, and I don't want to get into why, to get into previous counsel's thoughts, but your honor told us last court that you weren't really sure that you should have put her in Rule 11. We then showed up and said, we don't think this should be here. Dr. McGady's report, he did a review of CHS records and basically said, maybe this stemmed from a disagreement. So again, uncooperative behavior doesn't equal incompetency. Again, she hasn't displayed any irrational behavior. You have Dr. McGady's report. As far as waiting around for Dr. Hernandez to do a report, we have concerns about that. She's already wrote a letter to the court indicating she's watched movies about this prior to being appointed. She's gone outside of what my understanding of typical Rule 11. If you have a client in Rule 11, they refuse to talk to the doctor. The defense attorney shows up at that initial 11 hearing, says, I've now gone and spoke to my client. They didn't really fully understand. Now they're going to cooperate with the doctor. Then the doctor goes back out a second time. We've spoke to lots of attorneys in our office. We've spoke with our attorney who's in Rule 11 regularly. It's very rare that a doctor attempts to go back out to speak with a client a second time. Normally, I would never advise a client to not speak in Rule 11. However, we are defense attorneys. That is Rule 101. Your client shouldn't talk. And in this particular circumstance, we are saying we don't think she needs to be in Rule 11. So I don't think waiting around for Dr. Hernandez is going to get us anywhere. And we certainly don't need it to meet all of the evidence that is required in LeCount. And I think I had one other. The last thing is, we don't see this with the state. how often do we see the state trying to keep a client into Rule 11 proceedings? So we now have Your Honor, who was concerned about the Rule 11 and didn't necessarily think it was appropriate. We have said that. Dr. McGady has now said that. Commissioner Mortarosian, who was willing to stipulate to her competency. All of these people who are saying we believe she's competent, we should just, you should withdraw Rule 11, withdraw previous counsel's Rule 11, allow Ms. Vallow to be pro per. If at some point you or the state see something that is concerning, we can certainly put her in Rule 11 again. Competency is fluid. Again, we've never seen the state fight to keep someone in competency proceedings. It's usually the complete opposite. That's all I have.
Okay. Well, there's is a big distinction from the LeCount case in this defendant's case, because according to prior counsel's motion for Rule 11, she was previously found incompetent in another jurisdiction and put into some sort of restoration process.
And then found competent and tried.
Correct.
All we're saying is that where we're at right now, you asked us to come back and give you some evidence of competency. I think we have more than provided that at this point. And at this point, we're just delaying any speedy trial rights, any fundamental right to represent herself.
All right. Well, if she were allowed to represent herself prior to that, I'd have to go through a colloquy with her and get some information. And based on that information, could still refer her for a Rule 11, depending on her answers to those questions.
Sure, and that was supposed to be my last point, was we haven't even done that colloquy with her. So let's do that and see where we end up.
All right. Well, ma'am, I am going to ask you a series of questions, and that could inform what happens next.
Sure.
Have you previously in any other criminal proceeding been referred for a competency determination?
Yes, previously.
All right. And were you ever previously determined to be incompetent at any point?
Not to my understanding. So my understanding was that the judge did the same thing that you did, in abundance of caution. Let's go ahead and put her in and see. And I came out competent.
Well, when you say you came out competent, was there a period of time where you were ruled as incompetent?
I would say technically they did do that. That's how they put you into the program in that state, correct?
How long were you in that program?
I was in that program for about 10 months.
Okay. And what types of things did you, did they give you classes? What types of things did they speak to you about where you went through some process where you were later deemed competent?
I did go through a process of several things, several classes, competency class, and meeting with doctors and evaluators, many, many evaluators.
Are you aware of any diagnosis that you were given?
Yes.
And what is that?
We're going to object to that, especially with this being public and not sealed.
It's not relevant to this determination.
Okay, well then.
This was almost two years ago.
Then I'm going to keep her in the Rule 11 process to determine that. And
approach and discuss with you without it being on the without public on the record, but not public.
You mean as far as the diagnosis?
Yes.
Sure. All right. All that was on the record. The court reporter took it down despite the white noise.
But it was sealed for the public, correct?
What was that?
That part was sealed.
I haven't sealed anything yet, but I can.
Did you tell him or you didn't know? Is that the way you said it? That it was a split decision?
All right. I'm inclined to keep Ms. Vallow in the Rule 11 process based on the prior attorneys. I understand these attorneys today disagree with the prior attorney's assessment. But because of that conflicting viewpoint, I think I need to let the Rule 11 process play out. So do you want to, anything additional you want to put on the record regarding that?
Can I just have a moment to?
Sure.
Last part is we haven't finished the colloquy, so we can just finish that, just so that's on the record, and then we won't have anything to add after
okay.
that.
Okay. I don't see why this would produce a significant delay. If your client comes back competent, last time you were here, you mentioned needing a lot of time to be ready. But I just want you to think about this, and maybe you want to brief it, is if she represents herself, I don't think she should be forced to waive time in order for advisory counsel to be ready. I think she can go to trial as soon as she's ready if she's representing herself. And I don't know if you disagree with that, and you don't have to address it today.
We don't have to brief her at all. We agree with the court's
okay.
conclusion, and that's if she were going to proceed to trial under her speedy trial rights, that's the chance she takes going forward. We would always prepare ourselves the best as possible under the circumstances, but that shouldn't factor into the decision as to whether someone represents themselves.
I agree.
I think the court's respecting its bounds on that, if that's what the court's thinking. I'm not saying
No, you had thrown it out last time that you would need a significant amount of time to be ready, even if she represented herself. And when I was reflecting on that, I was thinking that I didn't know the case, so I'm glad that we're on the same page on that.
Just before the court goes forward with what I believe it's going to do, I would like the court to make a factual finding and a legal conclusion as to why the court feels it has the authority to do what it's doing and the facts that support that.
All right. I think I already have, repeatedly.
I would ask the court to do that again, so it make it perfectly clear for the record.
All right. Her prior attorneys requested a Rule 11 based on their observations. In their motion, they cite that she's, in their opinion, suffering from some form of delusions. Next, she's been previously, in their motion, found incompetent in another jurisdiction and went through a restoration process. By her own account here today, she was in that for approximately 10 months, which seems, I know it's a different jurisdiction and it's a different standard, but it seems that anyone that's in that process for 10 months is a significant period of time before they're determined to be competent to stand trial. So based on those factors, I think there's definitely enough to continue with the Rule 11 process. All right.
So they have one concern.
Go ahead.
Defense counsel has pointed out that they are not happy with the appointment of Dr. Hernandez. Dr. Hernandez did not go outside of the record to review anything. She indicated she had seen something on TV regarding the defendant, and it did not affect anything she was going to do in this case. However, if defense counsel is not comfortable with Dr. Hernandez being appointed, perhaps the court could appoint a different doctor. Most importantly, Judge, specifically due to the basis of the finding of incompetency in Idaho that we just found out today, I think it's incredibly important that the doctors actually speak to the defendant, because the records from the jail may not bring up the issues unless they're specifically discussed. So the doctors would, of course, inquire into those areas, knowing that that is of possible concern. So it is incredibly important that the defendant cooperate and speak to the doctors. Defense counsel did indicate that it's common to stipulate to one doctor. That is not the case. I have been doing this for 20 years. It's not what we do. We are protecting.
It happens.
We are protecting the record, Judge, so that we don't come back on appeal for ineffective assistance of counsel when they say it should have been evaluated and it wasn't.
Can I add one last point? And again, this is going to go on for a little bit longer. Even if she does go to trial in February, this case is going to go on for some time. Everybody in this courtroom is going to have an opportunity to see Ms. Vallow, to talk with her. And if there are any issues about protecting the record, it can also be done then. I understand this might be a little bit more convenient, but what we are saying is at this point, it's not necessary.
Okay. Are you requesting a different evaluator?
Yeah, we were going to, yes.
All right.
We were going to do the Rule 11.
We thought the Rule 11 doctor had to do it, so we weren't going to bring it
up. Well, I think I can do it. What was the name of the one?
Dr. Camille Hernandez is the doctor, and we would request that Dr. McGady be ordered to visit the defendant again because of this unique circumstances. He did indicate in his report that his opinion was not as sure as it could be had he been able to interview the defendant. So the state would request that Dr. McGady reevaluate the defendant with an interview, and that this court order the defendant to cooperate to the best of her ability.
Do you want to be heard?
We're clearly going down the rabbit hole at this point. We're getting far afield from what the court's concerns are, that she's able to represent herself. Now we're discussing all of the things that are relevant to Rule 11, which I'm indicating to the court aren't necessarily probative of what you need to understand in order to make a determination whether she can represent herself. If she doesn't want to talk to the doctors, she doesn't have to talk to the doctors. That's pretty straightforward and clear.
You're not requesting a specific doctor be appointed in place of Hernandez. You're talking about McGady. McGady was the one that found her competent?
Correct, but was not secure in his findings. So we would just request that. And then if you just notified the forensic services unit, they will appoint another doctor that does in-custody evaluations, and she can be evaluated pretty quickly.
Okay.
One last thing, Judge, we never asked. Did the court read the, file a motion to reconsider, including the both reports? Did the court read those?
Read what?
The reports.
I haven't seen any reports. No.
File a motion to reconsider with the reports attached. I think the court probably should have reviewed those before we had.
You filed a motion to reconsider what?
You filed it under seal.
Yeah. When was it filed? Are you talking about the motion to reconsider your motion to withdraw Rule 11?
Yes, that we hand-delivered last week, I guess it was.
Okay, I issued a ruling that said there was nothing to reconsider because I had neither granted nor
we weren't sure what
denied the motion to reconsider, or the motion to withdraw.
When we left court last time, the court indicated that it would like additional information to make a determination. That's what we provided to the court via those reports that the court asked for. You asked for those reports. We objected to going back to Rule 11, but it was determined at some point that there may be some outstanding reports. That's why we set this hearing. That's why we sent you the reports so you could review them before this hearing.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've reviewed both reports. All right. The court will appoint a new evaluator through forensic services unit and replace or withdraw Camille Hernandez. I'm not going to order McGrady to go re-interview her. He gave his opinion. If he didn't feel like he had enough to make his opinion, he shouldn't have made his opinion. The state often relies on these opinions as is, so I don't see why this case should be treated differently than is normally treated. So he made his opinion based on the records review and his brief interaction with Ms. Vallow or Daybell. So I don't know how, once I make that appointment, how quickly they schedule those.
Within a few days, I believe.
Okay. So if she's is found competent on the second evaluation or opinion, we should be back, set back here in short order, and we'll talk about where we're going to go next. Is there anything else?
No, I think we just wanted to make sure on the record, so you're denying our motion to withdraw and then ordering that she complete the Rule 11 process.
Yeah, I think that's the safest course of action for the purpose of appeal issues. And once we started it, I think we just need to finish it.
Say what?
Anything else from the defense?
Court date then after the
That's
second.
What I'm, because we have a court date with Rule 11, December, I think. December 5th. So I would think that would be enough time for this.
Well, next week. So is it next week that's a short week?
Yeah, it's a short week.
I agree with you. I think that date should still work. And if she is deemed competent and the parties stipulate to competency, you can contact my judicial assistant and we can set it in short order on this calendar.
And just, is the state, just so we're clear, is the state going to be willing at that point then to agree to that she's competent? Because assuming that the state will stipulate to that, I
don't know. I guess it depends on what the report says. I agree with you that sometimes the state does stipulate on one report, but there's not a requirement that they have to, so I can't force that stipulation. But I guess we'll see what happens on the next report.
I think the absurd end result here is if the state doesn't want to stipulate, then we're going to have a hearing where the defense is basically saying she's competent, and then the state's insisting that she's not competent?
I don't know. I guess you're going to have to wait to see what the next report says.
Oh, your water bottle.
All right. Anything from the state?
No, Judge.
All right. We'll be at recess on this matter.
Well.
Oh, wait. Prior counsel, since we're here, prior counsel filed a motion to compel.
Oh, yeah.
The state just filed a response.
Well, since we're in Rule 11, isn't everything suspended?
Well, urging that motion the prior defense counsel filed, and are you going to file a reply? That's all I really want to know.
We're still reviewing that, Judge. Obviously, we just left to catch up on all the stuff.
Okay.
And also determine if Ms. Daybell is going to represent herself. That would be something she might want to respond to instead of us. All the deadlines should be stayed because of Rule 11. I realize the state had a deadline that they'd asked for an extension, and that's why they filed it. But the reply, obviously, will come after the Rule 11 process.
All right. That's fair.
Yes, so I think maybe if we could ask for the 3-day reply deadline to start when we figure out where we're at in this process.
That's fair. That's fine. Okay, we'll be at recess.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.